Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. My name's Zach. If we haven't met, I'm the curate here. And this morning we're going to be thinking about being with God. If you've been coming to church over the last few weeks and months, we've been doing a four-part series that's had four topics, but in between we've had some talks where people have shared their experiences of prayer as well, so you may not have been able to follow it, or some of you may have been able to follow it, but I thought I'd do a quick reminder either way, just to prompt us on the things we have looked at. And the idea is that these are like different aspects of prayer, but also that maybe there's a bit of a progression, that when you start to pray, you might talk to God. If you were teaching a child to pray, you might teach them to talk to God. You might then start talking with God. It might be more of a conversation, a back and forth. You might then focus a bit more on listening to God. And then our final kind of stage, and it's not that you graduate through these stages or stop the first stages at any point, but it might be that as your relationship with God develops and as you learn how to pray, you find yourself eventually enjoying being with God. That's the final talk, the final session that we're going to think about this morning. And this whole prayer thing is something we really feel God's calling us to as a church in this season, as Mike's been saying a lot over the last few weeks. It's something we've been pursuing as a staff team. We've been making more time to pray together and worship together as a team. And we just want to encourage all of us to be going deeper in that as a church. I hope that this talk this morning will be a little bit helpful in helping us move forward with that. You'll notice the first three stages, like talking to God, talking with God, and listening to God, they're all quite like word-based or speech-based, like either we're talking or we're expecting God to talk. And this last one is a bit different, being with God. It might still involve talking and listening, but it's a little bit perhaps simpler than that. I wonder how comfortable you are being in silence with other people. It says, leaves long silence to make point in my notes. Not sure if that was long enough, but anyway. Sometimes that can feel comfortable. Sometimes that can feel uncomfortable. Often, the better we know someone, the more comfortable we are being silent with them, being just enjoying being in someone's presence, not needing to talk. And that's a little bit like what we're thinking about with God this morning. The better we know God, the closer we are to him, the deeper our relationship and our prayer life is with him, the easier it might be to just enjoy being together. Marriage might be a helpful analogy to some extent. I've been with Liz for 10 years this month. In a couple of weeks, it's our 10-year anniversary of being together. Yeah, thank you. 10 years since I plucked up the courage to ask her to be my girlfriend, and it's gone well, to be honest, very well for me. And relationships change over time, right? When you start going out, like we would phone each other for hours every single day and just talk on the phone. I'd want to know about her. I'd want to find out what was going on in her life, about her thoughts, her feelings, everything. And over time, relationships change. I wrote a song recently called 3,000 Days because I reckoned we'd been together for about 3,000 days a while ago. And it's about how our relationship has changed over time. We don't talk for 6 hours on the phone anymore. I mean, we live together all the time. And maybe we're able to enjoy being together in a simpler way or a different way than we were when we started going out. One of my favourite things to do with Liz is go on walks. Usually I have Monday as my main day off or one of my days off in the week, and the kids are at school, and Liz and I almost always, unless it's really horrible weather, we'll go out somewhere and go for a walk in the Peak District. And we love walking together. That's become something we've really loved doing. And occasionally I go for a walk by myself, and I find it's just much less nice. Like it feels like a long way. Like I go for a walk that I've been on with Liz and I do it myself and I'm like, well, this feels like a long way. But when I'm with Liz, like the time flies by. It seems easy, it seems joyful, it seems fun. We do talk, but we also just enjoy being together, enjoy the view, enjoy going for a walk and getting fresh air. And it's not a perfect analogy, but maybe our relationship with God is a little bit like that. When you first become a Christian, you might want to find out loads about God. You might want to tell God all about the stuff that's going on in your life. And that's a really good thing to do and a good thing to keep doing. But there might come a time where we go deeper in our relationship with God and we enjoy being with him, the simplicity of being in his presence. And one name that Christians have given to this is contemplative prayer, which is a bit of a mouthful. You might just like to think about it as being with God. You might like to think about it as contemplative prayer. They're both kind of linked. They're kind of the same thing. But we're going to think about that this morning. And there's three elements of being with God, or three elements of contemplative prayer that we're going to look at. We're going to think about looking, we're going to think about yielding, and we're going to think about resting. And I've brought some props with me to help us. I've got some sunglasses, I've got a hammer, I've got a cup, and I've got this blanket as well, which we're going to use. So that should be fun. So looking is the first one. There's a verse that we looked at in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We actually looked at it a couple of weeks ago in our creative service, if you were here. It's a verse that will be familiar to many of you, I'm sure. I can't remember if I put it on a slide or not, Highland. If I did, put it up, and if I didn't, then apologies. It says this: "We all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory." I'll read it again because it looks like I didn't put it on a slide. "We all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory." This is what the sunglasses are. It's like the idea of when we're spending time in God's presence, we're looking at who he is and we're seeing his brightness and his beauty and his goodness. I'm not actually going to wear them because I can't see any of you. But I did look cool for 3 seconds, so that was good. It's this idea of we're looking at God, we're seeing who he is, we're contemplating his glory. And that is kind of transforming us and changing us as people. If you were here a couple of weeks ago for the creative service, you might remember Tobias got up on a ladder. This verse is kind of looking back. Paul's writing to the Corinthians in the New Testament, but he's looking back to a really famous Old Testament story of Moses going up Mount Sinai. So we had Tobias on a ladder here. Very precarious. I don't know what the risk assessment was like for that, but it happened. And no children were harmed in the making of the creative service on this occasion. He went up the ladder and there was like a cloud and he was in the presence of the Lord, and then he came down and he'd put glitter on his face so that his face was shining. And that's what happened to Moses. Moses went up into the presence of the Lord and his face was shining from seeing God face to face, from meeting with him. And this verse in Corinthians says, we with unveiled faces, we can meet with God face to face. This is no longer something that's only open to like one special person like Moses, but every single Christian can come face to face with God, can look at his glory, can be, spend time looking at him. That phrase unveiled faces partly refers to Moses. He would come down from the mountain and his face was so bright from reflecting God's presence. You can read about it in Exodus, that he would put this veil over his face. So the Israelites, like, they could barely bear to look at him because his face was so bright with God's presence. And you might also think of like a bride on their wedding day. They unveil their face and they're face to face with their husband. And it's like a beautiful kind of intimate moment. It's a little bit like that with us and God. And so this is one aspect of being with God, of contemplative prayer, is to contemplate, to reflect on God's glory, to look at his beauty and his goodness and his love pouring out towards you. I was reminded of this hymn. I'm going to briefly sing it. I watched back. We had this funeral in here on Monday, and both Mike and I were away. It was for someone, a member of Streetwise, who sadly passed away. And this guy took the funeral, and there was this beautiful moment. I watched it back on YouTube, where he just started singing. And I was like, I couldn't decide if he was crazy or if it was like beautiful and really cool. But I leaned towards the latter. So I thought I would just sing a well-known hymn that just captures this. I'm only going to sing one verse of it. Just captures something of what it means to look at God, to contemplate God's beauty. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So that's the first element of contemplative prayer. We look, we behold, we contemplate God's goodness and his beauty. The second element that we're going to look at is yielding. There's a type of prayer where we're like hammering on God. We're like working with God and we're saying, God, will you change what's going on in the world? I found the biggest hammer I could find in our house. Liz told me I should bring the small one, but I was like, nah, I want the big one. Yeah, sometimes prayer feels like that, right? We want to change what's going on in the world. We see injustice, we see hurt, we see suffering, we see pain, and we're saying, God, will you do something about it? We're like, we're bashing down his door. We're saying, yeah, we're working with God to say, please, God, will you change the situation in the world? And that's a really good part of prayer. But sometimes there's a moment in prayer where we need to kind of accept what's going on, where we yield, where we say, God, I accept what's going on in my life. I accept your calling. I accept that there are some things in this life that maybe aren't the way I want, but not my will, but yours be done. You might think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He prays to Jesus. This is why I got the cup here. He says, Father, let this cup pass from me. The cup represents his suffering. It represents what God's calling him to do. But Jesus realizes there's going to be pain in that. There's going to be hurt. He's going to be crucified. And we're going to look at that whole part of Jesus' life in the Easter story in just a week or two's time. Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. So he's hammering with God. He's saying, God, change this, change the circumstances. But then he doesn't stop there. He finishes by saying, yet not my will, but yours be done. Just like he taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done, your kingdom come. And so the cup represents us yielding to God and saying, God, sometimes I just need to say, I'm here, I'm yours, I accept what's going on, I yield to your plan and your purposes in my life. So that's the cup. There's a good quote from a theologian called Robert Mulholland, which I did do a slide for, I think. He says this, contemplative prayer is the deep inner posture of a joyful release of our life and being to God in absolute trust, without demands, without conditions, without reservation. Releasing our life and being to God in absolute trust, no demands, no conditions, no reservation. It's a consistent posture of actively turning our whole being to God so that God's presence, purpose, and power can be released through our lives into all situations. So sometimes being with God means looking at him, seeing who he is, contemplating his glory. Sometimes it means yielding, saying, God, not my will, but yours be done. I'm here, I'm yours, all I am and have is yours. I lay myself down and submit to what you're doing. And then finally, we've got resting. That's why I brought this blanket. We really like resting in our house. We have lots of blankets. It's cold here in Sheffield. We come from the south of England, where I think it was warm, as I remember rightly. So we bought, this is like a level one blanket. We have these way thicker blankets at home, but it was too heavy to carry down here this morning. Put it on like that. It's actually slightly chilly in here today, to be honest, so it's quite nice to have a little blanket on. Yeah, sometimes prayer feels like work, right? When we're doing the hammering prayer, particularly, like we're praying, yeah, God, will you do something? It's like we're working with God to see change in the world. But sometimes prayer needs to be resting. Did you know that Orthodox Jews forbid all intercessory prayer on the Sabbath? So you can pray, but you can't pray, like, you can't really ask God to do stuff. You can't pray for stuff to change, apparently. Because there's a place for resting in God's presence. There's a place for just being with him and resting. And so contemplative prayer is a bit more of a restful style of prayer. It's enjoying being with God. It's a little bit like, yeah, a little portable Sabbath that you can carry around and engage in at any time of the week. And yeah, that's why it feels a bit less like those other stages of prayer that we've looked at over the last few weeks, talking to God, talking with God, listening to God. It's less about us doing something and more about like just allowing God to do something in us. And I think this is so important, like in the modern world. So many of us live in a state of like chronic fatigue or tiredness. Our culture feels really performance oriented, like we need to be doing stuff all the time. Like prayer can seem like a waste of time. It seems, why would we stop to pray when there's so much stuff to do, you know? And I think we need that. I think society's waking up to the fact that we need that, actually. Like, you see loads of people doing stuff like mindfulness or meditation. Like, it's not just Christians who are saying this is good for us. But this is not a new thing. Like, Christians have been doing this for a very long time, and Jews even before us. And God says this is good for your soul. It's good for your soul to rest. It's good for your soul to be in God's presence. There's something distinct, by the way, about Christian contemplative prayer that's different from just mindfulness or meditation. We've got a real God who really meets with us and really is present with us through the Holy Spirit when we do this. So yeah, it's good for us. It's good to rest. It's good to be in God's presence. And I think maybe, like, I wouldn't call myself like an expert on this kind of prayer particularly. There are certain ways that I find it easy to be with God and certain ways that I find it quite difficult. But I do think it's something we should all like try and grow in as Christians, no matter whether it's something that comes naturally to you or not. So we've got looking, we've got yielding, we've got resting. And then there's maybe two challenges that I think we might have when we're trying to do this. I'm going to get cold now. Distraction and hurry. Our world is full of distractions. Many of those distractions are good things that God's given us to enjoy, but sometimes those things pull us away from God, and sometimes it's good to like focus and learn to focus on God and to fix our attention on Him. And if you try and set aside a time to do some contemplative prayer or set aside some time to be with God, you'll probably find that your brain will jump around, that you'll get distracted, that you'll get your mind will drift over to a million different things that need to be done, to a million different thoughts and feelings that are jumping around your head. And one suggestion that some people have found helpful is like, just don't give those things a second thought. Like, that's normal. It's normal that your brain's going to think about other stuff when you're trying to pray. That's just a normal part of being a human. It's kind of how our brains work. So don't beat yourself up about it, but also don't give those things a second thought. And I heard this one phrase, which I thought was quite nice, which is, if your mind jumps away 1,000 times when you're trying to pray to something else, that's 1,000 times that you can choose to turn your mind back to God. If your mind jumps away 1,000 times to something else, there's 1,000 times you've chosen to come back and fix your eyes, fix your mind and your heart on God again. So distraction will be one challenge, and then hurry might be another challenge. We've got to confront our impatience, our feeling that prayer is a waste of time, and make time to be still. It's a little bit like, the kids are looking at this, certainly in Sparklers and maybe the other groups this morning. It's a little bit like the story in John's Gospel of when Mary pours out that expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. Do you remember that? And what people say is, that's a waste. Well, that's a real waste of money. That's a waste of time. That's a waste of that perfume. You could have done something better with it. And sometimes we can feel a bit like that with our time. We can think, oh, if I've spent, you know, all this time praying, that could be a waste. I could have been doing something productive. I could have been accomplishing something good for my family or my church or something good for God. But that perfume, Jesus says, is a beautiful act of worship. Jesus says, this is a beautiful thing that she's done. And this story is going to be told throughout the ages, wherever this gospel is preached. And we still talk about it today. It's a fitting response to who Jesus is, that we worship, that we do something extravagant and wasteful, and spending time being in God's presence, setting time aside to be with Him and not to do anything or accomplish anything, is one way that similarly we can show our worship to Jesus. And one final thing that came to mind, I think we do this stuff because God is good. Like, yeah, it's good for us, but we do it because, like, knowing God and being with him is just a good thing to do. But it will also change us. As we were praying this morning, I was thinking about that verse in Acts when John and Peter, I can't remember exactly which bit it is, but like they probably do some healing or something like that, and then they talk about Jesus, and everyone notices, and they notice, and they say, these guys are not schooled, like educated people. They're just normal guys, but they've been with Jesus. That's what it says. They noticed that they weren't clever, they weren't smart, they weren't educated, but they'd been with Jesus. They noticed there was something different about them. And I think that's true for us. If we are going to be people who go deeper in prayer, if we're going to set time aside to be in God's presence, if we're going to do these things, if we're going to look at God, if we're going to yield to God's presence, if we're going to rest in him, we'll find that people see us and look different. And you probably found that. Like, you probably found when you've spent time praying or worshiping, you feel different. God changes you. God does something in you. We don't necessarily do this stuff in order that God changes us. But I think it will happen. And I think people will see a difference in you and in me when we've spent time being with God, when we set time aside to do this contemplative prayer, to be in God's presence. So I thought we'd finish with a few moments of silence to have a go. I wonder if you could put up the three different things, Highland, the looking, the yielding, and the resting. And I thought we'd just have maybe 1 minute just to do each of those. Silence, like I've said at the start, may not be something that comes naturally to you, but let's just be silent for 3 minutes or so, and maybe spend the first minute just looking. Just fix your eyes on Jesus, just remind yourself of who he is. Then maybe spend a minute yielding, just saying, God, I'm yours, my life is yours, I accept the things that you're calling me to, the things that you're leading me into. And then just take a minute resting. Just say, God, I'm here with you, I'm here to rest with you. Right now, I'm not here to do anything. I'm not here to accomplish anything with my time. Right now, I'm just here to be in your presence, to be your child. So let's just have some silence and just invite you to, yeah, just silently, quietly engage with God in your heart for a few minutes. Father God, we want to be a church that's known for people who've been with you, who've been in the presence of Jesus. So I just pray that you'd help us with that, Lord. I pray that we'd take whatever's been helpful from this morning, Lord, and put it into practice. Pray that you'd show us how we can be people who set time aside to be with you. I pray that you'd help us to look at you, to contemplate your glory and your goodness. I pray that you'd help us to yield to you, to say that we're open to your call on our lives and your will being done in our lives, even if that's not what we might want it to look like. And I pray that we'd be people who rest in you. I pray that we'd know that you've got it, God, that there's a place for us to work. There's a place for us to do things, but there's also a place for us just to rest in your presence. And I pray that we'd be people who make time for that. I wonder if Brett and Lorna would come and lead us in another song or two. Why don't we stand together? It's good just to think about what that might look like for you. I love being with God through songs. I find the words of songs and the music really helps me to connect with God. I love connecting with God on walks as well. There'll be different stuff for everyone, but it's just worth reflecting on. And it's also just good to do it together now. Like, we've got some time to sing together. This time on a Sunday morning is set aside to be with God, and we expect that we will meet with him. We already have met with him, we'll continue meeting with him, and we expect that he'll change us and that we will look like people who've been with Jesus when we go from here. So yeah, Lord, we pray for your help. We pray that you'd lead us in this, go take us deeper in this as a church. And yeah, would we know your presence with us as we sing now. Amen.